Welcome to Kindness Route 1. Take a moment to look around. Pay attention to what you notice, what questions bubble up inside you, what you're curious and want to know more about. Make a note about these things for later, and now let's take a tour. The first thing you probably notice is the kindness forest in the center of the room. Did you notice that the moss on the forest floor is a veritable cacophony of bright colors? Maxine and I gathered crocheted doilies and tablecloths from women we will never know. Then Maxine dyed them to make our forest colorful. The trees were crocheted from all kinds of different materials by Anne, a friend of Maxine's. Does the kindness forest make you smile? What do you notice when you gaze at the kindness forest? What do you feel when you stand in the presence of the kindness forest? Now, if you'll begin to the left of the door closest to the front of the building and follow the path around the room, the first quilt you'll see is a quilt Miss Maxine and I made collaboratively to tell the story of our friendship. It's called Postcards from a Journey of Friendship, and here's the artist's statement. Storied fabric, seasoned quilts, softly frayed edges. These are just a few of our favorite things. Kindness, women's issues, social justice, personal histories. These are just a few of our shared interests. We, like many others, discover our common threads through art, and more often than not, we use cloth to tell our stories and speak our truths. You too? If we had a nickel for every time we've said that, we'd buy all y'all lunch. We're not carbon copies, yet even in our differences, we find opportunities to rejoice, chortle, and learn. Now, if that's not the mark of true friendship, please tell us what is. Here's to the joys of an ever-unfolding friendship that began with a funny story at Sacred Threads 2019. Ask us to tell you about that one sometime. Next to that is a quilt I made to tell the story of my disabled sister-in-law, Nancy, who was treated very unkindly when she was 3 years old. Some people we don't know hurt her brain, making it hard for her to talk. I like to say that she has a vocabulary of about 12 words, and 6 of them are the word love. It's a word she uses quite often. Nancy lives in Florida, and one day, when I visited her, we went to get hot fudge sundaes. When it took a while for the delectables to get to us, Nancy got fidgety. She's not good at waiting for ice cream or milkshakes. To give her something to do, I put pens and paper in front of her, and to my great surprise, she did something she'd never done before in all the decades that I'd known her. She began drawing. She would make a mark on a page, then lift the pen to tell me it was time for me to turn the page. She filled my journal, and then she made marks on napkins until the sundaes arrived. Seeing that she was communicating with me, I began stitching her drawings that very night. That was in 2012. Today, she still draws, and I still stitch her drawings. That's what you'll see on most of the walls in this room. I tell different parts of Nancy's story in different fabrics and threads. Some are about her family, because when someone is unkind to one person, they're also unkind to that person's parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, friends, classmates, teachers, aunts, uncles, cousins, and anybody who knows that person. Unkindness to one person is unkindness to many people. The good news is that when you're kind to one person, you're also kind to their parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, friends, classmates, teachers, aunts, uncles, and cousins. A little kindness goes a very long way. The drawing stitched on the black orb at the front end of the room are Nancy's third set of drawings. Every time we visit Nancy, we leave paper and markers for her and bring back the drawings she's made since our last visit. I bring the drawings home, scan, format, and label them, then arrange them in digital folders, store the originals in page protectors and binders. Then I begin to stitch. This black orb is the third piece in the series I call In Our Own Language. See the purple drawings on a white background? Those are Nancy's first marks she made at the restaurant that day. That's In Our Own Language 1. Next is a triptych, 3 panels of In Our Own Language 2. Those stitched drawings are sandwiched between sheer window curtains that once hung in my favorite Grant Irene's living room. Aunt Reen loved Nancy, and whenever they were together, Aunt Reen would make her way to sit with Nancy, refusing to leave Nancy's side, even for cookies and ice cream. Oh, that didn't mean she didn't want the sweets. She just asked people to deliver plates filled with sweets to Nancy and her, where they sat. This is how Nancy and I communicate now. You see, she draws, I stitch, we communicate, all without words. Through her drawings, she lets me know how she's feeling, if she's happy, sad, hungry. Can you find drawings that look happy, sad, mad, frustrated, sleepy? What else? She also lets me know what she's seeing. The blue panels displayed opposite Venera on Language 3 on the back wall in the room are her fourth set of drawings, stitched with pink and white thread on a blue background. These drawings were made when we took her to Daytona Beach to spend the week with us one time. She spent the mornings on the hotel room balcony observing, and in the hot afternoons she came inside the cool room to draw. Do you see birds, too? Nancy's birds may not look like birds, but they're still birds. These trees, crocheted by Anne, may not look like any trees you've ever seen, but they're still trees in our forest. Nancy may not look or sound or eat or walk like anybody you've ever known, but she's still Nancy. She's still a woman. She's still a human being who deserves and receives on a regular basis, I'm delighted to say, kindness. So are each of you.